This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
Interesting end to the week for markets. We've had PMI numbers right across Europe, the UK, and the United States, and they make interesting reading because we've had pretty strong PMIs for Europe and here in the United Kingdom, but much weaker in the United States, and that has had an effect on the dollar today.
Yes, it has. It's actually a double whammy, right? You have some strength out of Europe and the UK for PMI numbers, some weakness out of the US, and some China tariff stuff, which we'll talk about more later in the podcast, leading some dollar weakness. So yeah, the euro, the pound finally seeing a little bit of a uptick. I mean, it has been those currencies against the dollar have really struggled in the last few months, trading as low for the euro down to 1.018, which is, you know, a multi-month low. Bouncing back here, good bit, 1.0510, let's call it, for the euro dollar. And as for the pound, also a nice bounce back, trading at 1.2486. So big upside move here for the pound and the euro. And we're seeing this response here. Again, it's kind of hard to attribute it only to the PMI data, but the PMI data definitely helped to kind of kickstart these moves here today. PMI numbers coming out of the UK and Europe both stronger than expected overall. Definitely a positive figure and a welcomed figure considering, you know, PMI data out of Europe and UK has been relatively slow recently. So a bit of a breakout. And for those who are looking at the technical side of things, you know, this is a bit of a breakout from this downward trend that we've been looking at for some time in recent months. If you take a look at the daily chart, bit of a breakout on the technical side, and I imagine a welcomed one for many who have been kind of waiting for some reversals on these. We'll see if that kind of comes to fruition, though. But you know, Johnny, I was thinking about something. The last time Trump took office, there was several months following his administration beginning that the dollar index actually weakened. Perhaps we're seeing a little bit of a repeat of that playbook with some of the data, because again, as you mentioned, we also had U.S. PMI numbers, which came in a little bit soft. So some softness on the U.S. data, some strength from the European markets, and we've got a little bit of a change in the wind, if you will.
And perhaps that's down to the fact that there's a bit of uncertainty around with what President Trump's now saying, particularly when it comes to the hikes of tariffs against China and so on. Maybe they're not going to be quite as steep as many people had predicted.
Yeah, and I don't know if you or the audience, to those listening, if you were able to catch some of the World Economic Forum comments made or Trump made on the forum there. It was quite interesting because many people, myself included, expected him to come out of the gate kind of swinging at China and you know, resuming the trade war that we saw back in 2018 and 2019. And instead, what we sort of got was a lot more fixation on EU regulations, Canada, Mexico. That seemed to be the focus. And when asked about China, or when China was brought up in conversation, Trump, at least according to the market, seems to have been softer than expected. And, you know, you said right off camera, right before we spoke, that this is sort of the Trump, you know, scorecard, if you will. A lot of times, and accurately so, I would say, Trump does have a larger bark than he does have a bite. And for months, we've heard, you know, tariff this, tariff that. It's going to be, you know, inflationary and concerning, and that I would contribute to part of the reason the dollar index has trended higher in recent months. Well, we can see that kind of reversing. And as we just got done discussing the pound and the euro up today, part of that, I mentioned it was multifaceted, is also that the dollar is weak, perhaps on these lesser China tariff concerns. Now, it doesn't mean that tariffs are not coming. It just means that because they're not out of the gate swinging from Trump and his administration in place and hiking, you know, as you mentioned, hiking the tariff rate very quickly, the market is taking that as a signal that maybe tariffs are still coming, but maybe we can take them slowly and steadily rather than all at once and spike a massive surge in inflation. I would actually just add that it seemed like from the World Economic Forum panel that the questions that we got and the dialogue from Trump, that he seems very adamant to see lower interest rates. And he knows that the Fed is a bipartisan kind of third party, not controlled by Republicans or Democrats. They operate independently. And so there was this big kind of moment where Trump actually on stage, quote unquote, and he did use this word, he demanded that the Fed reduce interest rates, which is obviously a big no-no in president world. Most of the time, you're not supposed to do that. But we know Trump is very atypical as a president anyways. But this big demand on the Fed to actually cut rates is not something that the president controls. The Fed has to see what they want to see in order to cut the rates. And I think what they want to see and what Trump knows they want to see is inflation coming down. So he spent a lot of time discussing oil prices. He spent a lot of time going over many different things, but notably the dollar weakness today, I would say, is largely contributed largely to the dollar's weakness today is the perceived softness on the Chinese tariffs that the market was fearing from him in months prior.
And we'll hear from Jerome Powell, of course, next week. It'll be his first speech post-Trump. So it'll be interesting to hear what he has said. But back to what you've just been saying, I wonder if the economists and economic advisors in the new Trump administration have warned him against too steep a tariff because of those inflation concerns. And that's another reason why he's saying, bring down the interest rates anyway. It's a kind of push me, pull you kind of economics where you can't have one without the other. It's a tricky one.
Yeah, no, it is. It's definitely tricky. And again, like I said, he's a very atypical president. He's not the standard politician. Some people like that. Some people dislike that. But the point is requesting or rather demanding that the Fed cut rates. We'll see where that goes. We'll see where that if that leads to more headbutting between Jerome Powell and Trump. And as you mentioned, Powell is set to speak next week during a press conference. We'll see how I'm sure, we'll get many questions about, hey, Trump has said this, what are you going to do? And I would make the prediction that he's probably going to stay true to what he's been saying, which is, we will make the decision outside of the realm of politics and his claims that they will act in the best interest of the American people and inflation and jobs. And you guys, you can guess the standard response issued by Powell. But I do actually think that most likely the Fed will continue to do their job and focus on the data. I think that Trump deep down knows that. And so that's where he's so focused on oil prices coming down in order to appease the inflation requests or the inflation interest that the Fed holds in order to cut rates. So there's this kind of big circular focus on in order to get interest rates ultimately lower and to really spur the economy. It starts with inflation, which then starts with oil, which then starts with you can walk your way back to the Russia-Ukraine war and you can kind of see where all of these goals are going in the same direction. Peace leads to potentially lower inflation and lower interest rates.
And I also see gold nearing another all-time high. That also ties in with the warlike situation we've had over the last 2 years in both Ukraine, Russia, and the Middle East. Trump made some comments to the Russians about a day or two ago. The Russians came back with their own version, and it's tricky to know really where we're going to end up in terms of any kind of peace or negotiation between Russia and Ukraine at this stage. I'm a bit confused by it, really, bearing in mind what Trump said and how Russia responded.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think your confusion is probably similar to how the market feels, right? There was this big kind of hype around Trump's campaign that he would get the war ended within 24 hours. Now, you know, again, big bark, we'll see where the bite lands kind of thing with Trump. And I think that's going to be a theme for us as, you know, as journalists on this topic for the next few years. And I think it's really key here that somewhere there may be some truth in that, like maybe a rapid end to the war could potentially be happening. As you mentioned, Russia seems open to negotiations, and that would obviously be welcomed by many people all over the world. But the question is, how soon is it actually going to happen? And perhaps that 24 hours has come and gone, and we're still waiting to see where that lands. And there's been some comments on both sides. I think that gold is trading towards those all-time highs simply with an uncertainty bias, right? We know typically that is why gold rushes higher, is usually on peaking uncertainty. So there clearly is some in the markets, and it is actually, in my view, a little bit of a warning signal to the markets right now. The stock market continues to hit all-time highs, but with gold, you know, coming towards that all-time high as well, at least some caution, I think, is wise.
We've discussed the specter of inflation and whether we can get it down here in the UK and where you are in the United States. But in Japan, we've seen some inflation numbers and wage hikes as well. This is following the comments from the Bank of Japan. Manufacturing has contracted as well. So we're seeing perhaps some more hawkish comments coming from the BOJ.
Yeah, and a little bit of hawkishness coming from the Bank of Japan, which also we know from back in August of 2024 that rate hike process from Japan was not a welcome thing by the market. But at that time, we had a lot of a slew of actually weak economic data coming out of the United States. So it looked like that could actually really unwind the carry trade. And that was why a big kind of fear event occurred that August 5th day, VIX spiking to, I think, a record all-time high. And now, you know, the scene is a little bit different. We have an economy that overall looks pretty solid for the U.S. So perhaps those rate hikes from Japan are not the end of the world, but definitely something to keep an eye on. A rapidly strengthening yen can derail some other parts of the world and be a little bit of a cautionary thing, as, you know, the carry trade unwind, as we saw on August 5th, has a lot of potential. So definitely continuing to watch that, as you also mentioned, seeing some data out of Japan that entices them to potentially hike those rates, like rising inflation, which they actually welcome. So over here in our part of the world, you know, UK, US, inflation is a no-no. We don't want that right now. But in Japan, they actually do want that, because especially if it is a product of growth in the economy.
So much happening at the moment, Nick. Absolutely fascinating times that we live in. But what's happening next week?
Yeah, so next week we've got some really highlight events, as well as some other data points that are worth mentioning. On Sunday, we actually get manufacturing PMIs out of China. Many people are hopeful for a China recovery. And again, maybe based on what we recently saw from Trump, perhaps there is a little bit of room for negotiations to go a little better this time around between China and the U.S. I say that cautiously because, you know, the 2018-2019 trade war stuff was a very frantic time in markets, causing some really steep sell-offs. So we'll continue to watch Chinese economic data and relations between the U.S. and China. On Monday, we're pretty light. On Tuesday, however, we get CB consumer confidence out of the United States. We get CPI out of Australia. On Wednesday, we, of course, have the highlight event, which is that Fed press conference, as well as we hear from the Bank of Canada with their monetary policy report and rate statements. Thursday, of course, we get our unemployment claims, and we get advanced GDP. Another very important metric here is to look at how GDP growth is going to be, especially with some of the proposed or concerns around higher government spending under Trump. The question is, can we actually outgrow the debt that we add? And GDP numbers will be very interesting to watch. We also have the ECB press conference on Thursday. And finally, on Friday, we get some core PCE data. So pretty action-packed week next week to follow.
Excellent stuff. Nick, thank you very much. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.